The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. This season of Lent is a time of preparation. Usually think of that immediate preparation before the joys of Easter, before we rejoice in Jesus' resurrection for those 50 days of Easter. But in a greater sense, it's also a preparation for martyrdom. I don't mean necessarily that we're all going to die as martyrs or be persecuted or have to endure some sort of physical suffering for the faith. But that original word in Latin for martyr is simply a witness. That the martyrs who shed their blood show us their witness that something greater is happening in their lives than anything that could happen on earth. That they show us the new life of Jesus even in their death. But really, all of the saints at some point have to give that witness to Christ. That in that moment, they become martyrs. Maybe not martyrs with their blood, but through the witness of their words, their confession, and their life. I think all of us are called to be martyrs at some point. And at some point in our lives, we have to give that witness of God's love, that we're living for something greater than the things of this world. At its core, that's what all the disciplines and the prayer that we do during Lent is meant to train us for. It's not just an earthly discipline, right? Like dieting or exercising more, that we could physically take care of our bodies. It's not just having our life more organized and in order to have a better schedule and kind of prioritize things better. Oftentimes, those things can kind of be an effect of what we give up for Lent. But instead, this spiritual practice, these spiritual 40 days in the wilderness like Jesus did in the gospel, is meant to train us to choose the things of heaven rather than the things of earth. And at the core of that, not just because heaven is better, but because we trust in God, our Heavenly Father, to give us what we truly need. I think that's what Jesus shows us in the gospel. That when he quotes the scriptures in the face of each of these temptations of the devil, it's not simply kind of an intellectual knowing that God has something better in store for Jesus. It's not as if he kind of has a third party knowledge that, well, don't worry, God said he'll take care of it. Instead, he references these scripture passages because for Jesus, they are a very personal, experiential knowledge. It's as if he knows from the beginning of time that even just when I am physically hungry, God can provide for me. That I don't need to grasp at power and glory like Adam and Eve did, but instead that God will glorify me and he will be glorified in time. That I don't have to ask for him to protect me, for I know and trust that he always will protect me. I don't have to initiate that, but he'll give it regardless. Jesus has trained in some ways for this moment, that ultimately he's training for his martyrdom, his witness of the cross. That in that moment, it's not just the physical or emotional suffering that he endures, but at the heart of it all, it's the trust in God's providence. To say, God, even in this moment when I'm abandoned by my friends and followers, I trust that you are with me, that you will provide for me. That even in the one thing that no earthly person or earthly thing can overcome, his physical death, I trust that you will give me something new, that you will provide for me even in that moment. That in a way we can see these 40 days in the desert as Jesus training for that martyrdom, training for that witness. That he didn't just wait around for the ultimate moment to come by, but instead he actively sought ways to deepen and experience God's providence, to deepen that trust that he would give him what he needs at all times. I think that's actually what Lent is meant to help us to do. That in our disciplines and in our practices, we learn to find that ultimate trust and providence in God rather than the things of earth. In some ways, that's what Moses is teaching the people in the Old Testament to do in this reading from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is basically Moses' final homily to the people before they enter the Promised Land. Because he wasn't able to trust God perfectly, he knows he won't be able to enter the Promised Land with them, but he wants to give them kind of his words of wisdom, his last testament, to see how they can live well in this land that God will give them. And he's talking about bringing an offering to the altar, bringing a sacrifice of praise or their prayers in this basket to the Lord their God. But instead of telling them, well, ask God for all the things that you think you need, or think of all the things that he's done well for you today or this week, he actually encourages the Israelites to keep remembering things that happened hundreds of years ago. That he references how God provided for us, for our people, even back to the time of Abraham. He was the wandering Aramean that put his trust in Almighty God. And continue with Jacob as Jacob and the 12 tribes went into Egypt, that God provided for them. And then even for themselves, they would remember, or their parents would have remembered, being in Egypt and being enslaved. And then the ways that through the hand of Moses and through God's inspiration, they were led to freedom through the Red Sea. And he provided for them even during those 40 years in the wilderness. And in a way, Moses is saying, in those moments when you're in the Promised Land, you're still called to give witness to the goodness of God. So don't forget the things he's already done for you. In some way, these have been a training so that you can trust in his goodness. Yes, that he provides for food from the crops that we'll raise. Yes, that he provides for security through the king and through the armies that we'll gather together. But especially that we remember that even from the time of Abraham, even through those difficult times, God showed us his goodness. He provided for us then, so I trust that he will provide for me now. Brothers and sisters, that's what Lent trains us to do, to trust in God's goodness and to actually experience the ways that he can provide for us in this world. I think that's what the saints did throughout their lives. I don't think St. Maximilian Kolbe waited until he was at Auschwitz or waited till that moment of martyrdom to prepare to trust in God's goodness. But instead, throughout his life, probably throughout many Lents, he sacrificed things, he disciplined himself, he deepened his prayer life, not just to be better himself, but to be able to have that trust in God's providence. That when things did get difficult and it called for his ultimate witness, he actually had reason to say, I think God can provide for me now because he's provided for me so many times in the past. I think of Father Capon when he went to the war in Korea and when he was in those prison camps. I don't think he waited for that moment to have a great trust in God in the face of evil and in the face of torture. Instead, that through his life and probably through many Lents, he actually had an experience of knowing that God will provide for him. And so when that looked more extreme or more dramatic, he actually had kind of an arrow in his quiver. He had a bullet in his chamber, if you prefer the more modern kind of expression of that. But he had something to kind of point in the face of the devil's temptation and say, I don't need to grasp at these things of the world. I don't need to rely on the things around me because I know that God can provide for me now because he's provided for me in the past. Brothers and sisters, that is what this Lenten season can allow us to do. Yes, have that discipline to cut back from the things of earth, but actually make space to receive that goodness of God our Father, to realize and experience his providence for us personally. Not just so that that helps us to get through this year's Lent and to prepare well for Easter, but actually help us to experience that new life that comes from trusting perfectly in God's providence. Trusting that if he's cared for me in this moment, in this difficulty or trial during the season of Lent, he can provide for me in anything that comes in the future. Let us pray today that we will enter into that season of Lent well, that we will deepen our faith and trust in God our Father. Like the 40 days in the desert were for Jesus a preparation and a training for his martyrdom on the cross, so too our Lent can be a training for our own witness, that we can trust in God and his goodness, that he can provide for me right now and will provide for me regardless of what happens in the future.